Now, in just a moment, we're going to be finding out about wind turbines that are made of bamboo. Who would have thought it? An age-old material that's actually cutting edge. And also, why some flowers manage to point at the sun all the time. What happens at night time? How do they get back to where they started? Well, we've got the answer. But before then, we're exploring how biology can influence technology. And a very springy example is the stuff that keeps the wings of a bumblebee flapping. And joining us from the CSIRO's headquarters, I suppose you could say, but in Queensland, Australia, he's here in Cambridge for a meeting. That's Dr. Chris Elvin. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
So tell us a bit about this chemical that keeps a bumblebee's wings springy.
So this is resilin. This is a protein. That's a polymer of amino acids. And it's found in probably all insects, where it enhances the efficiency of insect flight. And it was discovered by a Danish researcher here who became professor of zoology here in Cambridge back in the 60s. And he did some very elegant experiments to show that this was an almost perfectly elastic material. In other words, it loses almost no energy as heat when it's stretched.
So you stretch it and then let it go and it returns all of the energy you've put in.
Exactly. Nearly all of the energy that's put into it is returned, about 97%.
And chemically, how's that achieved?
It's achieved by having an almost completely unstructured, random structure to the protein, if you get what I mean. And it's cross-linked. There are covalent cross-links between chains of the proteins that allow it to act as a random network polymer, which is exactly what you need if you were designing a perfectly elastic polymer.
And how does nature use it?
Well, it's, as I said, it's present probably in almost all insects that have been looked at, and we've certainly looked at it at the gene level in fleas, in dragonflies, in buffalo flies, and in Drosophila. We've pulled those genes out.
So I think mechanically what I'm getting at is you've got wings. How is it attached to the wings, or is it actually intrinsic to the wing material?
It's both. It's found in the joins of the wing veins in dragonflies, for example, but it's also found as a major component in a tendon, which is attached to the muscles, which are attached to the wings. And it's that large tendon that Wiese Fogg worked on back in the 60s and poked a tiny little silver wire down through the hole and hung weights off this thing. And showed that when he released the weights, it sprang back to exactly the position it was at the start and so on. So it's there to, on the downstroke, when the insects use its muscles to pull down, this tendon is stretched, and then the energy that it's stored is released when the wings come back up.
And why is it called resilin? Is that presumably because it's very resilient?
It's from the Latin resilir, to bounce back, and he named it resilin.
Ingenious. So obviously something with those kind of properties would be extremely useful if we could work out how to make this stuff.
Absolutely. So we've taken a part of the resilin gene from Drosophila, and we published this in Nature back in 2005, and we were able to express just a part of the gene in E. coli. So we turned the E. coli bacteria into little factories. They made the protein. It was a liquid, a protein solution, and we cross-linked it using a photochemical method. So we add a catalyst, a photochemical catalyst, and an oxidant, and we flash it with white light, and it turns from a liquid into a rubber, which displays many of the properties of the native material.
So what you're basically saying is you can steal the gene from the fly, get bacteria to make a sort of precursor form, you're then able to activate.
That's it.
How much can you make?
We could theoretically make kilos of it if we needed to. I mean, we've made 100 grams or more in a large fermenter at CSIRO in Australia, and we can then purify that protein using some neat protein chemistry techniques and get it almost pure, and then cross-link it with light.
So say you wanted to make a structure with this.
Yep.
We sold this on this week's show as bad backs because I think the stat you told me when I spoke to you a few years ago was a person bends their back about 100 million times in a lifetime.
That's it.
A bumblebee flaps its wings 500 million times in a lifetime. Therefore, we think this protein could be used to repair bad backs. But tell us how.
Sure. That's the interesting bit. What you want for a spinal prosthetic disc, because that's after all what we're talking about, is are a number of things. One, you need to have a material with very high fatigue lifetime, and you mentioned the 100 million cycles, the number of times we move our back in our lifetime. And this material, from a materials point of view, has that specification. It can at least last that long before the bonds start breaking down. What you also need, though, is for the material not to degrade. This is a protein. It has peptide bonds in it, and proteases will break it up. So we need to make it non-proteolytically sensitive.
Can you do that?
Yep, we can. And we have a project, an ARC-granted grant project with Monash University, and the plan there is to use non-natural amino acids, so beta or D amino acids, which aren't recognised.
Oh, very clever. So by using things that you wouldn't normally find in the body or in nature even, and so they have the same chemical properties.
That's it.
But they don't look right.
That's it.
Therefore, they can't be broken down by enzymes.
Exactly.
Ingenious. And so you could then cast a sort of disc.
You could.
And put that into someone's back.
You could.
And when will we see this? Will this be in time for the fact that, you know, I've been doing a lot of digging, Chris. my back feels a bit sore. Is this going to be within my lifetime, or is this way out there into the future?
You know, I would think we're probably talking 10 years, probably. There are some other things that need to be done to it, too, to make it. It's very soft material. You know, insects are very small. They don't need to have very stiff springs. so it needs to be stiffer, and we can do that as well. And we've got some ideas to do that.
It puts a whole new meaning on that movie, The Fly, doesn't it?
It does.
Thank you for coming to join us. That was Chris Elbin, who's a researcher from the CSIRO in Australia. I wish you luck and have a wonderful trip back to Australia.
Fantastic. Thanks for having
me. A wonderful country, and it's good to have you here in England. That was Chris Elbin, as I say, from the CSIRO, explaining how he has worked out how you can make the gene product of resilin, this protein that keeps a bumblebee's wings flapping, in the laboratory. I might be able to make my back better when I get old.
And mine too, I hope. Oof.